It's 7 o'clock, and you're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Monday night, 7 o'clock, means it's time for the Opera Box. And this program is presented by the KGNU listener members and by My Local Music Lesson, enabling busy families and professionals to arrange for music lessons in the comfort of their own home or at the location of their choice. My Local Music Lessons uses certified and fully vetted instructors to teach string, voice, and percussion levels of various kinds. More information can be found at mylocalmusiclessons.com.
Away with them and place them at the bar.
One moment, let me tell you who they are. They are no members of the common throng. They are all noblemen who have gone wrong.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to KGNU's The Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, and tonight we look at the handling of plots of certain operas and ask the question, are you kidding? Careening plot treatments that could only come from opera, such as this one from The Pirates of Penzance.
Will be peers, and youth will have its fling. Resume your ranks and legislative duties and take my daughters, all of whom are beauties.
And I'll have music of Puccini, Mozart, and Verdi, and more. Let's leave logic at the door and join me for tonight's Opera Box. Major General Stanley and the Penzance police get the upper hand and capture the pirates, but Ruth steps in to inform everyone that they're not really pirates at all. They're just House of Peers noblemen who've gone wrong. Well, hearing that, the Major General orders them released and says they can marry his daughters, which allows Mabel to marry Frederick. Only one of the crazy twists in Gilbert and Sullivan Pirates of Penzance. And we heard John Reed as Major General Stanley, Valerie Masterson as his daughter, Mabel, Pauline Wales was Ruth, and Isidore Godfrey conducted the Doily Cart Opera Company. All right, we're looking at about 5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a playlist of operatic plots that stretch credulity. Of course, comic operas can be forgiven for how they stretch logic and credulity, but melodramas, such as this next one by Carl Nielsen, can also make us scratch our heads and wonder. The opera is Saul and David. Saul and David is taken from the Bible. It's about Saul's leadership of the Israelites at the time that they faced war with the Philistines. Saul's pride got the better of him, and he made many bad decisions, which results in the Israelite defeat at the hands of the Philistines. After praying to God for help, Saul realizes God has abandoned him. And as he sees the Philistines trouncing the Israelites, he falls on his sword and dies. The Israelites are crushed by the Philistines as heartbroken David assumes leadership of the Israelites. And the opera ends victoriously. What?
Happening a bit with gefangen in Hell.
Oh,
Saul commits suicide. His body lays on the ground as David watches the Israelites crushed by the Philistines, and the opera ends victoriously. Are you kidding? We heard Aga Haugland as Saul. Peter Lindrus, the tenor, was David. Naomi Yarvi conducted the Danish National Radio Symphony Orchestra and Choir. And here we are 17 minutes after 7 o'clock, and you're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. And I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of unexpected outcomes which somehow seem to work in opera. And be sure to stay tuned for a Classic Monday. James Weiss is going to be your classical music host here this evening. That's at 8 p.m. tonight, right here on KGNU. But right now, we're faced with a difficult situation from Verdi's melodramatic opera, Ernani. The outlaw Ernani is really the Duke of Aragon, deposed by King Carlos. He's also secretly in love with Elvira, but she is engaged to Don Ruy de Silva, her uncle. The king also desires Elvira for his wife, and for some time now, he's been threatening to take her. Carlos has been trying to find the outlaw Ernani, and he's tracked him down to de Silva's palace. De Silva protects Ernani from Carlos, but he also holds it over Ernani's head as a perpetual debt. And although de Silva and Ernani are thus rivals for Elvira, they share a common desire to overthrow Carlos, who's been abusing his powers. Well, in Act 3, de Silva and Ernani are part of a group of conspirators who are plotting to kill Carlos, but they are all discovered by Carlos. Well, Carlos, in an effort to be seen as changing his ways, pardons all the conspirators and blesses Ernani and Elvira's desire to get married. Well, now, in this scene, we're going to hear from the final act. Elvira and Ernani are married, but de Silva arrives and demands his payment for the debt, which is he wants Ernani to kill himself. And so, accompanied by some lovely waltz music, Elvira tries to plead with de Silva, but he cannot be moved, and Ernani feels he has no choice and stabs himself.
Forse fu
After Elvira and Hernani are married, Elvira's uncle, Ricardo da Silva, also Hernani's rival, arrives to collect on a debt where he saved Hernani's life. But his conditions are that Hernani must kill himself. And Hernani obliges. From Verdi's Hernani, and we heard Carlo Bergonzi as Hernani, Leontine Price as Elvira, and Ezio Flagello as da Silva, with Thomas Schippers conducting the RCA Italian Opera Orchestra. It's 27 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to the Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist of operatic plots that stretch credulity to the point of, are you kidding? Now, if you think operatic melodrama is prone to exaggeration, listen to this next one from Mozart's comic opera, The Marriage of Figaro. Mozart's opera was based on the sex farce plays of Pierre Beaumarchais. Beaumarchais' plays were banned in Austria because they put aristocracy in very bad light, representing them as immoral and adulterous autocrats who abuse their authority. Mozart's reputation and handling of the zany plot allowed him to get past the government censors. Even though the zany plot is credited to Beaumarchais, Mozart's characterizations lend light and shade to the characters and the zaniness. Figaro is the Duke's valet and will soon marry the lovely Susanna. Though married, the Duke intends to invoke his rights of the feudal lord, the right to spend a night with any new bride under his authority. As it turns out, Figaro is being sued by Marcellina and her representative, Dr. Bartolo. Although older than him, Marcellina has the hots for Figaro, and she's had him for a long time. She's got a contract in her hands which forces Figaro to marry her if he can't repay a loan that she gave him. And that suits the Duke, because that would leave Susanna free for him. So in this scene, the beleaguered Figaro is being pressured by both the Duke and Marcellina. But in the course of this argument, it comes out that Figaro was stolen as a child. And when he shows everyone the birthmark on his right arm, Marcellina and Bartolo realize he is their lost illegitimate son. a tender reunion occurs, and Marcellini decides she'll marry Bartolo instead.
Eccellenza, m'appello!
È giusta la sentenza, o pagar o sposar!
Bravo, Don Curzio!
Bontà di sua eccellenza!
Che superba sentenza!
Sì, che superba!
Siamo tutti vendicati!
Io non la sposerò!
La sposerai!
O pagarlo, sposarla! Lei ti ha prestati 2000 pesci!
Son gentiluomo! E senza l'assenso dei miei nobili parenti.
Dove sono? Chi sono?
Lasciate ancor cercarli. Dopo 10 anni io spero di trovarli.
Qualche bambin trovato?
No, perduto, dottor. Anzi, rubato.
Come?
Cosa?
La prova.
Il testimonio.
L'oro, le gemme e i ricamati panni. E nei più teneri anni mi ritrovarò addosso ai masnadieri. Sono gli indizi veri di mia nascita illustre. E soprattutto, questo è il mio braccio impresso geroglifico.
Una spatola impressa al braccio destro.
E a voi chi il disse?
Oddio, ed esso.
È ver, son io.
Chi?
Chi?
La dritta più presso un castello.
Ecco tua madre,
Valia.
No, tua madre,
sua madre.
Cosa sento?
Ecco tuo padre. Sua madre,
sua madre,
sua madre, sua madre, sua madre, sua madre.
The tender family reunion after Figaro reveals that he is the illegitimate son of Dr. Bartolo and Marcelina, stolen when just an infant. So Marcelina agrees to marry Bartolo, even though moments earlier she was trying to force Figaro to marry her. From Act 3 of Mozart's Marriage of Figaro, we heard Vladimiro Ganzaroli as Figaro, Mariel Casula as Marcelina, Clifford Grant was Dr. Bartolo. Colin Davis conducted the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Well, my last opera, which causes us to ask the important question, are you kidding? This last one comes from Puccini's opera Turandot, which isn't a tragedy or a comedy, although it's based on a comedy and was composed as a drama. In Act 3 of Turandot, the icy Chinese princess Turandot is scouring the city of Peking to find someone who knows the name of the unknown prince. Otherwise, she'll be forced to marry him in the morning, and she has vowed to remain a virgin and never be subjected by men. So, if she can learn his name, she'll remain free. Oh, and by the way, the unknown prince will be executed. Well, his servant girl, Liu, was tortured by Turandot's guards to try to make her reveal the unknown prince's name. Fearing that she would break under torture, Liu killed herself. And in these two final scenes, the unknown prince angrily condemns Turandot for her cruelty toward the innocent Liu, calling her the Princess of Death. And in his anger, he grabs her and kisses her. And then he tells her his name, Calaf, giving her power over his life. But are you kidding? He makes Liu's suicide a meaningless waste. And that's not all. The day breaks and the people gather at the throne of the emperor. They've come to find out, has Turandot learned the stranger's name? And the emperor asks her, do you know the stranger's name? She has learned his name, she says, and his name is Love. And she and Calaf embrace as the crowd rejoices. And somewhere not too far away, Liu is laying there dead.
Yeah. comincia.
Molto sopra.
Yeah!
Well, even though the faithful servant Liu killed herself rather than give away his name, Khalaf gives away his name, and then he happily agrees to marry Turandot anyway, and we live happily ever after, I guess. We heard Luciano Pavarotti as Khalaf, Joan Sutherland as Turandot, and Zubin Mehta conducted the London Philharmonic Orchestra and the John Aldus Choir. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. Thanks for listening to my program featuring the important question, are you kidding me with that? Stay tuned for A Classic Monday with James Weiss. It's a minute after 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins.
The KGNU Board of Directors reminds listeners that all our board meetings are open to the public. The KGNU Board of Directors meets at 6 p.m. on the second Monday of every month. We also have a community advisory board that meets twice a year. All meeting dates, times, and locations are posted in advance on our website, kgnu.org. You can also get more information on KGNU board meetings by calling 303-449-4885 during business hours, or by sending an email to board@kgnu.org.
Good evening. It is time for A Classic Monday. You're tuned into KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. My name is James, and I have 2 hours of the music of American composer Walter Piston coming up today. 1894, I believe, died in 1976, and is probably one of the more important American composers of that century, this past century. If his name isn't as familiar as Beethoven's and such, well, your great-grandchildren will be studying him when they study the music of 20th century classical composers. So I have a number of things by Walter Piston. Mostly I have things that are large scale. So my apologies to composer Walter Piston. I don't have quartets and trios and other small sonatas and things. So turn up the volume. It's going to be the grandiose, large orchestral music tonight. We're going to start with his Symphony No. 2, which is probably, for Walter Piston, his more famous work of all. We'll listen to all three movements to this, the Moderato, the Adagio, and the Allegro, as performed by Gerald Schwartz in the Seattle Symphony Orchestra. Music of Walter Piston, this is Symphony No. 2.